Listen to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live, all the way from Falls Church, Skyline, Virginia. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes. And want to get our ads out of the way, going to do a little commercial first, and then jump right into the program. Be sure to visit this website on a regular basis. You're at adly.net, ADLY.net. You should be putting this link in all your emails and promoting this website so that we can keep it going. This is a very important part of making it work, because it's stimulating and exciting for those who participate when we see so many people visit. So this is the way we're going to keep it going. It's not costing you any money, and that's a beautiful part about it. But also, we need to participate and join up here and get out there to promote this thing as well. And likewise, we're talking about websites. Remember also to share the link for Islam Tomorrow, islamtomorrow.com. You'll find the website open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain for the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, and the delegate to the United Nations World Peace Summit for Religious Leaders. But all of that won't fit on a business card, so they just call me the Sheikh. And that works for me, alhamdulillah. Anyhow, we have been in a series of lectures or discussions on the Jesus of Islam. Who is Jesus of Islam? And clarifying some of the misconceptions that some of the Muslims may have about what we believe about Jesus and what Christians believe about Jesus and why. And so we've been using a book by the name of We Believe in Jesus. It's something that's available through our website. If you don't have a copy, you'd like to get a copy, we can help you find it online, and we can also send a copy out to those who are not Muslims. They'd like to know a little bit more about what Muslims believe about Jesus. And we've discussed a number of issues, and we've been talking about the mission of Jesus, and we're now on page 1415, and let's begin there. And the writer, Salman al-Bashir, is saying it must be realized that while Muslims believe that Jesus, that is what I'm speaking on, was given Allah's so-called good news, or gospel, or Injil, we do not recognize the present four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as the actual utterances of Jesus, peace be upon him, himself. Even the Church concedes that the four different men writing these Gospels, are not Jesus himself, but somebody who are coming up with it, but continues to uphold that they were divinely inspired. An assertion firmly rejected by us. And what that means that we Muslims, we do accept that there are four Gospels there, no doubt. And we do accept that these were people who, at least, they were writing what somebody said they heard from Jesus. And this is quite likely. However, we're going to say that this is not on the same level as the Qur'an. The Qur'an is the actual word, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not to be confused with the Bible in that respect. The original Bible? Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it, because Allah tells that to us in the Qur'an, that in order to be believers, we have to believe that the original Bible, in fact, did come from Allah, and we do believe that. But what we're saying at the same time is that these words that we have here are not Jesus' words, and they're not Allah's words, but the people who, and the people may have been inspired without doubt, but they were not communicated to directly, as was the case of, for instance, Jesus or Moses or Abraham or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessings be upon each and every one of them. And then he continues, he said, it can be argued that if the four writers were divinely inspired, then why are there so many serious discrepancies and omissions in their respective individual accounts of the life of Jesus, peace be upon him? I'm going to add this, he doesn't care, I'm going to say, and not only that, but in regard to some of the statements of discrepancies between the Old and New Testament. Many times, Paul, in his writings, quotes, as he says, he's quoting the, as was written in Scripture before, or it has been said to you in Scripture before, or of old, and so on, and he's quoting to you from the Old Testament. But the problem is, when you look in the study Bible, and if any of you know what a Ryrie study Bible is, then you can look in there and you'll find the references that are at the bottom of the page, and it has a little number, and you look down, it tells you where to go look it up. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know how to use a study Bible. And it will tell you that he says, and as an example, that Jesus came to all the people. And then he makes some quote, and then you go back and you look this quote up, and it doesn't say all the people. It's talking about the nations or the tribes of the Jews. It is not talking about all people and all the world, because there's a big difference. And by the way, those who were of the tribes, the Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, in fact were very tribalistic, and they considered anybody who was not of them was actually a disbeliever and totally out of the realm of belief and couldn't be part of them. In fact, they even called them something which means dog. Gentiles or goyim is not a nice word. Gentile, our gentleman coming from this genteel, this is not a good word. This is something bad, and they would not like to be called that because they were calling the non-Jewish staff. And so it would be similar to Muslims perhaps today who say, oh, those people are kuffar. They're disbelievers. They're out of it totally. And so we want to make this distinction here because Paul comes along and he's changing the meaning of the text and sometimes misquoting it, sometimes adding, sometimes taking away from the Old Testament. You know, this is not what our brother Mr. Stan is referring to in his book. I'm just adding some commentary as I go along. And I hope a lot of you didn't find a mistake. He continues talking about, and our subject here tonight is the mission of Jesus. He says another mission of Jesus, speaks this on him, is to tell the people about the coming of the final prophet after him. Now hold on. Before I even say another word, after him. And people are going to say, what? There's nobody going to come after Jesus. Where do you get that from? All right. We're not going to move off of this until I mention a couple of points. In Islam, one of the things that is taught to us from day one is that all the prophets came with the same message, and all of the prophets said essentially the same thing. There is only one God, that you have to worship him with your entirety. You cannot give 99%. You have to give 100%. Okay? And I am a messenger of that God. This is what the prophets are saying. As such, you have to obey me. I have been giving a charge to give to you, and you have to obey it. I'm not making it up myself, but God is ordering me to do this, so you have to do it, because I'm the one responsible. I'm the messenger carrying the message. You have to do it. That's what all of them are saying. And then each and every one of them warned about the Dajjal, the false Christ, who will come in the last day and fool and deceive the people and lead them to hell. And each and every one of them told about the prophet who would come after them. This is known in Islam, it's a part of the teaching of Islam, that the prophets do that. And in fact, Jesus was doing the same thing. And every prophet will talk about a prophet coming after him. Jesus did it, and so did Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you might say, whoa, wait a minute. The Quran clearly states that the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is in Surah Al-Fasad, chapter 33, verse 40, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the Khatam al-Anbiya. He is the seal of all of the prophets. So no prophet can come after him. That's true, except what? Except that one prophet will come back, but not with any new law, not any new Sharia. He will not do that, because he will be following that which came with Muhammad. Who is that? Who is the prophet who comes after Muhammad is the one who also came before Muhammad, which is Jesus. Jesus returns in the last days, and the true followers, the true believers, will turn to Jesus and follow him, and they will have all victory on this earth and in the next life. Some of the people of Ben Israel, they will wake up and they will realize that's him, this is the true Messiah, they will follow him. In fact, I've already met some of those who have left Judaism to become Muslims, to follow Jesus when he comes in the last day. If he came, they are quite ready to do so. Some of the Christians will also do the same thing. They will be prepared to accept this is the real Jesus, the real Messiah. He's in this way, and I want to follow him. And I've met also some Christians, including myself, who used to be serious in Christianity, but now we're prepared to follow, inshallah, if God would send him, we hope, inshallah, we're prepared to follow Jesus as he would command. And then finally, we have to realize that there are some Muslims, too, who are going to be following Jesus in the last days, because they will recognize him as the true Messiah. But the way I worded that just now, you'd have to ask yourself, is he saying that some of the Jews are not going to make it? Yes, I'm saying that. Is he saying that some of the Christians aren't going to make it? Yep, I'm saying that. In fact, I'll tell you exactly what a Baptist preacher told me one time. He said, son, all the people talking about heaven ain't necessarily going. I get it right. And then finally, are you saying that some Muslims will not go to heaven? I'm saying exactly that some people who claim to be Muslim, some people who say la ilaha illallah, are not going to go to heaven. Why? Because we don't know what's in people's hearts. Just as we don't know what's in the Muslim's heart, we also don't know what's in the hearts of the other people either, and we don't know how any of us will wind up. There's a clear hadith that the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, Muhammad told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that barely a person will go through the entire life acting like somebody of the hellfire until he's so close he's only an arm's length away. But then what is written for him overtakes him, and he acts like a person of the paradise, and as such he enters into it. Then he also continued,
oh boy. Okay, there's no sound.
When we talk about the subject of what has been written, I notice that sometimes the Christian will wrinkle up their nose or they'll look at you kind of funny and say, what do you mean what's written? And you say, well, we know in Islam that Allah already wrote everything that's going to happen. Oh, well, how could that be? You say, well, God already knows what's going to happen. It's already written in a book. Oh, are you saying we don't have free will? And they start this big argument with you. I'm going to stop you right before you get going too far. Do you believe in your Bible? Do you believe in Jesus? Because it's very clear that Allah's messenger, and I'm talking about in this case, Jesus is Allah's messenger. He says, if you believe your Bible, he says, what is written will come to pass. All right? Now, what do you think that means? What do you think it means? He's not talking about what he writes. He's not talking about what somebody else writes. He's talking about what has been written by Almighty Allah. It's going to happen. And he refers to the same type of belief that is mentioned in the Quran, the same type of belief which is mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no argument here. There's nothing to discuss. If you want to talk about how is it possible, we can talk about that. But don't try to make your plan look different from what you have, and it says the same exact thing in your book. Hello? Pay attention here, you know. Like what I always say, I was born in the night, but I wasn't born last night. So let's all get on the same page, you know. Continuing with the author's, what he's mentioning in his book, with believing Jesus, he says, another omission of Jesus is to tell the people about a prophet coming after him. And Almighty Allah says in the Quran, and now we'll quote what Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah 61, As-Saff, and this is the rank. And he says in Surah 61, verse 6, and remember when Jesus, the son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, indeed, I am the messenger of Allah sent to you, confirming the Torah, that's the book of Moses, the books of Moses, okay, that came before me and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmed. But when he came to them with clear proofs, they said, which is near magic. That's chapter 61, verse 6 in the Quran. I want to refer to this Ahmed, because in fact the name Ahmed is the secondary name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it literally means the one who praises Allah more than others. And certainly Ahmed Mustafa, which is Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, did do exactly that. He praised Allah more than others. Now, I want to go back over this a little bit, and again, I'm not giving the text of the Quran, and this is something that only scholars of Quran are allowed to do. I'm merely making a surface comparison in English to a surface comparison of Bible. This is a very superficial thing. This is not a deep course in Islam, and certainly nobody can give any credit for it. Okay? It's just that Allah is reminding us that Jesus, the Son of Mary, said essentially the same thing here in the Quran. Obviously, we need to be able to find something like this to confirm it from the Gospel of the New Testament. Is there such a thing? Well, I think there is. I think if you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, you're going to be very surprised in verse 16 of chapter 14. And this is what's mentioned by the author, as a matter of fact, in the next paragraph. He says, the New Testament speaks of the coming of a comforter after the ministry of Jesus, peace be upon him. And this is pulled out of chapter 14, verse 16 of the King James Version. And it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may remain with you forever. Now, some of the translations, I want you to know this, some of the translations, especially when you want to look in the definition, the meaning of the words, in the concordance of Strong and others, you will find that instead of the word comforter here, you will find counselor, mighty counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and it says standby. I've never seen standby. Everything else I've seen, but I didn't know about standby, meaning maybe it would stand by you. I don't know, but I'm reading from his book. That's what he says. He says, and he continues, in the view of such biblical accounts, some Christians believe, or are made to believe, that the promised comforter is the Holy Spirit. But this view is a moot point, and in fact unacceptable, because the Holy Spirit has already been present during the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, in his ministry. And its coming was not a future event. And that's a fact, because it says that the Holy Spirit came to strengthen Jesus. And in another gospel, at the same exact moment, and this is on the Mount of Olives, when he's praying, it says that the angels came to strengthen him. And we know that the angel Gabriel, is called the Ruach Kadosh, which means the Holy Spirit. That's his official title, just like somebody could be John Jones, but he happens to also be a colonel in the military. So he's Colonel John Jones, but he could also be known as the Colonel. Or he could be Fred Smith, and he'd be a sergeant, but he's also called Sarge or Sergeant, but it doesn't stop him from being Fred Smith, okay? And likewise, when we talk about the Ruach Kadosh, or quote, the Holy or Sacred Spirit or Soul of Allah, this is not God's Spirit, but it's God's Spirit. What do you mean by that? Yusuf, are you giving me double thoughts? No. I'm saying that it's not God's Spirit in that God's soul is speaking to you. No. But it's God owning a spirit. You got me? If I say my car, I'm talking about my car. The car's not in me, is it? I own it. Alright? But in the case here, when it says the Spirit of Allah, okay, I have no problem with that. Because it's not talking about God's soul or spirit entering into his creation. This is out of the belief of Islam. We don't accept that. But it's talking about the one that he owns, which is a very precious soul. It is the angel Gabriel. He has a soul. In case any of you doubt this, any Muslim doubts this, I'm telling you that there's a clear hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu, which says the last of those that everybody will die, by the way, Allah said that in the Quran, Kullu nafsan dai'ikatul maut. Every single false of faith death, okay? Everybody's going to die. And after all the humans are gone and they're dead, and after the angel of death has taken all the souls of all the jinn, then he'll be commanded to take the souls of all the angels, and then finally he will be commanded to take the very soul, the ruh kadus, of who? Gabriel. Jabril. And that's his name in Arabic, Jabril, and his name is Latinized and called Gabriel in the English today, alright? But it's still ruh kadus, and it's saying that the angel of death will take the soul of the angel Gabriel. Oh, and then, by the way, it also says he'll be ordered to take his own soul, and the angel of death will have nobody else there except himself, and he will have to take his own soul. And then when he does, he says that if I knew it hurt so much, I wouldn't have been able to take the first one. So may Allah save us from this agony and pain at the time of death. I mean. Now, we'll return back to our subject. What we're talking about here is that the Comforter is not the Holy Ghost, is not the Holy Spirit, it is not the angel Gabriel or Gabriel. This is who? This is who? And we are saying that it is Ahmed. And you say, well, where did you get Ahmed out of that? Well, I'm going to share something with you. You're going to be very surprised. And that is that this word, Parakletos, in the Kone Greek, happens to have a word almost identical except for one of the Greek letters, which happens to be a little bit different. But when you look at that Greek letter and you realize that this, it's a big word, Parakletos is a large word. If somebody miscopied it or intentionally copied it, either way, they would be putting this word, meaning the comforter or the advocate or intercessor, when in fact three words back before this in the Strong's Concordance of the dictionary of this same word, referring to it, it says the one who praises Allah very much. Hello, hello, hello. Figure that one out when it's exactly what it says here, Ahmed. This is not a coincidence, folks. It is not possible that a word that's only one letter off means Ahmed, and it's saying it in the same context as this says here, the one who comes after me shall be the comforter. And it's saying in the Quran, and the one who comes after me, whose name shall be Ahmed. Hello. You've got to be really, really slow not to catch it with somebody pointing it out to you like this. And if you, after this point, you said, no, I don't want to believe that, well, you don't have to. In fact, you don't have to believe anything you don't want to. You don't have to believe. You can look right at the sun and don't believe it's going to destroy your eyesight either. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. It'll still happen, though, but you don't have to believe it. Okay, so we'll continue, and he's saying that, I'm going to refer back to the book. He's talking about, the Muslims therefore believe that the term comforter by necessity refers to a prophet. The prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the unlearned prophet. Now that's important to know, by the way. He did not know how to read or write. Now to some of us this might not seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you that's very important because in the book of Isaiah it speaks of the unlearned prophet who will not speak of himself, but rather what he hears he will say. And that's not Jesus, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Jesus was very educated, he was very wise, and we know that from the Quran, we know it from the Bible. Jesus was a highly, highly educated person. And he certainly knew the Torah. He knew, it says he was taught the book, he was taught the Torah, he was taught the wisdom, he had it together. On the other hand, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he was a normal man just like anybody else, normal birth, and he never learned to read, nor did he learn how to write. He was called the unlearned prophet. He's the sole prophet who brought with him a complete comprehensive relation from Allah, which has been preserved as it was revealed to him originally, challenging the whole world to come up with another chapter like it. And the beginning of the Quran, after the seven verses that open it up, the Quran starts like this in Surah Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك كتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. I'm going to stop right there because it said Alif Lam Mim. This is the book wherein there is no sound. A source of guidance for those who have taqwa, or piety, or piousness. So from this we understand immediately that this book is claiming to be what? It's claiming to be from God. It's claiming to be from Allah, and it's claiming that there's no doubt. Additionally, it implies, without actually saying so, that there is a book out there that has about a doubt in it, and we know which one we're talking about. And it's saying this one has no doubt in it, but yet it, this book, and the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is similar in that Jesus, when he came, and with his book, he says, I'm confirming what came before me, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I'm confirming what came before me, and Jesus is saying, and I'm confirming what's coming after me, and Muhammad is saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm confirming what's coming after me. So what is the big problem here? What is the problem? These people are saying the same thing. And this is not a big, giant leap of faith where you have to be blindfolded and jump off a building. This is something very simple. You merely have to open your eyes a little wider, open your heart a little wider, clear out some of the cobwebs, get rid of some of the prejudice, and admit that you have some things wrong inside of you, but you're willing to make changes when you see the right way to change. And then suddenly all of these pieces start fitting together. Now this is my commentary. I mean, this is not the book, Sanders. This is old Yusuf just running off at the mouth, okay? But I want to continue and finish this section of this book tonight. And he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the unlearned prophet, the sole prophet who brought with him a complete, a comprehensive revelation from Allah, which has been preserved. And the Quran today is memorized by over 9 million people on the earth. Hello? That is preserved. I don't know any other book that says 9 million people memorized the whole thing. It challenges the world to come up with a chapter like it, and Allah said in the Quran, if you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. 1400 years, and nobody's done that. Allah says, bring 10 surahs, 10 chapters like it. The last 10 surahs of the Quran I memorized in a very short period of time. 10 surahs of the Quran are easy to memorize, starting with Surah Al-Fil, and going to the end of Surah An-Nas. Those last 10 are very easy, short surahs, and nobody came up with 10 like them. And then in another place in the Quran, Allah said, okay, bring one surah like it. And they haven't done so to this day. Allah also said in the Quran, this is a logical argument. Allah assumes that logical speaking and thinking people are considering what he's talking about. And what he says, as a logical argument, had not the unbelievers, and he's talking to the unbelievers, considered that if it were from other than Allah, it would have many contradictions in it. Okay? So find one. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And I get off the subject again. I'm never going to finish this chapter. I've only got 2 sentences left. And it said, yet the world could never meet the challenge, of which I just discussed, and it will remain to be till the end of time. It is the miracle of miracles, the last testament of faith addressed to the whole world, embodying the complete nur, light, and hidayah, guidance, as well as the conviction of sin. And we're going to wind it up with that. We're going to leave off tonight. And if possible, inshallah, if the sister would like, we can continue tomorrow and pick up where we left off. The last part of this is Jesus, peace be upon him, raised up to heaven. And we can pick up there if you like. You've been listening to Islam Noir. We're broadcasting live, L-I-V-E, all the way from Falls Church, Virginia. And you can visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. The website's opened up for you 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free questions. And while we're on the subject of being open, this website right here is adbi.net, where you're visiting right now. I've never tried to come to this website except that I found it open and always found somebody was sitting there waiting for somebody to talk to. So this is a good place to come to hang out, to hang your hat. If you don't have anything else to do, make it your default website to go to. Make it your homepage, if you like, and come here and be a part of this. And what you should be doing is promoting this thing. If you really believe it and this is being something good, then you should put a little something in your emails at the end of it. Just said, come and visit us. And put in there, visit IslamTomorrow.com/LIVE. And that will bring you to the same page, okay? The only difference is that I've bypassed the page that has the opening sound of oddly.net. And I did that because for myself, I need to get in here quick. I don't have time to listen to a low echo that it comes up with. I'm saying this just to let you know that if we're going to believe in something and support something, then we should do it for real and put some effort into it. Yeah, there you're looking now, by the way, at our website at islamtomorrow.com. And you can, if you notice, the links are live. The one over on the far right, and it says, I was just mentioning that the Scholars of Islam, and I'm showing you the picture over there, if you want to click on that, those people in there, they really are Scholars of Islam. That picture was taken right before the week of Ramadan last year in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and I was on the dais and getting ready to give a speech, and I thought about it, and I grabbed my camera and I took a picture of them. They looked at me, what's he doing? And if you notice, there's one with a camera with a light on it. He's taking that picture down there. I don't know if you can also notice, but if you look real close in the front row, right toward the middle, that Dr. Anwar Hajjaj is sitting right there. I don't know if you can see him or not, but Dr. Anwar Hajjaj from Dar al-Hijra is sitting in the center of the front row. So this is not important anything, I'm just mentioning that. So visit us on the internet and tell others to do the same. Let's support the good efforts of Islam, and let's, by the way, avoid promoting websites that attack Islam. Don't talk about it. If you find a website that attacks Islam, just ignore it. Don't tell anybody. And you can tell me about it, and we'll see, you know, what to do about it, but I don't want you to promote it. I don't want you to share it with other people, because you promote fitna. Share the good links. Leave the bad ones alone, and remember the saying of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he taught us, Man kana yu'minu billahi wa yawmil akhir, yaqulu khayr aw yasmut. Let the one who truly believes in Allah and the last day either say something good or be silent. And with that, I'll remain silent after I give you the greeting. You can listen to Islam Tomorrow. It's on the internet, islamtomorrow.com. And until next time, is your host, he's the best, telling you, Salaam alaikum, wa rahmatullah, till next time.